just concentrate on him. Yes. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on
you. I want to announce, Lord willing, we'll be having a baptismal this evening. Service will start at 6:30, and at the end of the service, we'll be having a baptismal service. So I want to remember that. And anyone that wants to be baptized that time, you're more than welcome to be. And we've got a men's meeting coming up Thursday evening, November the 16th, here at the church in the fellowship area. That'll begin at 7:30 in the evening. And then also, we'll be having a youth Bible study November 30th, which is also a Thursday here in the fellowship area downstairs from 7:30 to 9:30. And we've got the testimony we want to share. Brother and Sister Hoover said we want to thank the Lord for protecting us in an accident Wednesday evening. And then also they said our son Benjamin had requested prayer concerning a test he had to take. He passed on Tuesday and wanted us to testify that God had helped him. So praise the Lord for that. And we got several prayer requests we want to remember this morning. Brother Barry and Sister Darla Weber, they're traveling. We want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Also, Brother Lee and Sister Debbie and Sister Anna Pierce, they're traveling. We want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. And Sister Sherry Virgin, she returned home from her trip not feeling well, so we want to remember her in prayer. And Sister Julie and Sister Christie's grandma, Betty, she's not feeling well and requested prayer, so we want to remember her in prayer this morning as well. Sister Angela's son, Isaiah, he's sick with a cold and some bronchial problems, so we want to remember him. And then Sister Anna Pierce's Aunt Verda had requested prayer for her son, Danny. The job he has was causing his eyes to get bad, and just recently they've gotten so bad that he can't see anymore, so we want to remember him for a special touch from the Lord spiritually and physically this morning. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. Brother Trevor, would you just come this morning, lead us in a word of prayer over these requests.
Amen. Man, let's just bow our heads. Great Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful to be able to get together this morning to meet in your name, the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we know that there's power in the name of Jesus. Father, so it's in the name of Jesus that we come before you and ask you, Lord, for the many requests for traveling mercies, for those that aren't feeling well and having sicknesses. Lord, we know you didn't promise us a divine health, but you promised us divine healing, Lord. You didn't say that the road wouldn't be rough or that we wouldn't have problems, that we wouldn't have our ups and downs, but Father, you promised you'd be with us through every single one of them. Father, let your spirit reach out and touch each one. May they accept their healing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we bind together in faith, Lord, knowing, Father, that we're just fulfilling your word by asking you, Lord, and that whatever we ask on earth, you would release in heaven. So, Father, we're just here, just, Lord, in accordance with your word, we do this because you've asked us to. You've told us that this is what we ought to do, and so this is what we do, Father, because you are God, and you are our great, the great I am. You are the great King, and we bow before you, Lord, and Father, we know nothing but just to try to do your will with all of our hearts, with all of our understanding. Father, reach down and give each one of us a little more faith, more revelation this morning, that we could climb a little higher into the word, Lord. Oh God, we know the hour is late. So Father, would you come and inhabit our praises, Lord, and work a work in each one of our lives, Lord. May this morning, Lord, maybe not even in a great something, Lord, but just in the still small voice, Lord, may you come and speak to each heart. Make things more real, more alive, Lord God. Oh God, what can we say but we need you, Father. Now be with us, we ask. Bless the service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning once again, church. This morning we'll be reading the 19th chapter of the book of Psalm. That's 1:9, the 19th. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork.
Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge.
There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
And their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set the tabernacle for the sun.
Which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race.
His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his serving unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making the wise simple. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
The Lord is the
Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward.
Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults.
Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. God bless you. Please be seated.
If the brothers would please come at this time. This is number 8 in your hymn book.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to that crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Saving grace on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll keep more close to him. He will give me life. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads one every time. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, the home at last, ever to rejoice. Ever to rejoice. my Lord. Dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to Him. He will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead.
Amen. It'll be wonderful to see him, won't it? This is 319 in your hymn book.
The blood that Jesus shed for me.
Me.
sing it this way. Oh Lord, it soothes all my doubts, and it calms all my fears, and it dries all my tears. Oh, it's that blood that gives me strength. An on-time God, yes He is. Church, I tell you, He's an on-time God, yes He is. Well, He may not come when you want Him to, but He'll be there right on time. He's an on-time God, yes He is. Praise and praise and hear. shake somebody's hand this morning. And you all are sounding so good this morning, it's hard to stop. Amen. Amen. God's good. Amen. Let's turn, if you would, this morning to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to pick up this thought that we were looking at last week of by faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come together again this morning, Lord, to assemble together in no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you promised us that wherever two or three were gathered in your name, that you'd be in the midst. So, Lord, we come, Lord, this morning acknowledging that you're here with us, Lord, that you're moving, you're hearing and answering prayer, Lord. And we just commit this service into your hand, Lord, whatever you would have us to do, whatever you would have us to say, Lord, may the praises of our lips be pleasing unto you, Father. Lord, may we just pour out a sacrifice of praise, Lord, into you this morning. Lord, yes. May everything that we do, every expression, every feeling, every emotion, every word that we would speak, every action that we would take, Lord, may it be something for your glory, Father, we pray. Lord, we just commit this service into your hands, Lord, for Lord, we have no other place, other higher place that we could take it to commit it to. Lord, all of our troubles, all of our trials, everything that we're facing, Lord, this morning, we commit it to you.
Yes.
Lord, we love you and we praise you. We adore you. We thank you for the many things that you're doing for us, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and you can be seated this morning. We looked at this last Sunday morning. We found that Brother Brandon taught us the whole Christian walk is based on faith. Everything that we do is based upon faith. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, we looked at it. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. And Brother Brandon picked it up in the second miracle in 1951. And he tells us that time and sight is the worst enemies that God has.
All right.
Time and sight. Because many times we begin to look at something and we place our opinion, we place our attitude towards what we see, but God looks beyond the seen to the unseen. The real true believer, we should look not just at the things that we can tangibly see. You might be able to look and say, well, I have these symptoms, I have this trial, I have this financial struggle, we have this problem in our marriage or our family or whatever it is, and you're looking at the symptoms, you're looking at the circumstances, you're looking at the natural things that you can see with the eye, but the real true believer looks beyond the seen to the unseen. They don't look at the situation, they don't look at the present tense, but they look at the promise. If Abraham had looked at his own body being old in age, he would have never received the promise, but he looked beyond the circumstance to what the promise said. And he said, I know, he wasn't, you know, he didn't just try to ignore the current situation. He said, look, I know I'm unable in myself. I know that my body's not ready. I know that Sarah's body's not ready. He wasn't just, you know, basing this on a fairy tale or trying to pretend that his circumstances weren't what they are. But he said, I'm not looking at that. I'm not looking at my body. I'm not depending on my body. I'm not depending on my current condition. I'm looking to the promise. And that's what we should do as believers this morning. We look to the promise. We don't only look by what we're able to see. Brother Hoover, what color shirt are you wearing this morning?
White.
How do you know that that's white? Go back all the way to the beginning. How did you initially know that that color was white?
Well, I was taught.
But who taught you?
My parents, my teachers.
His parents taught him that that was white. Well, what if your parents were in some kind of color cult and they just tried to convince you that that was white?
Come on.
How do you know that that's white?
All right.
By faith, he believes that it's white because he didn't just take his parents' word for it, but we have a standard that we can go to. We have a standard of a color chart, and we can look and see this is white, and this is blue, and this is green, and your wife might argue with you whether you're wearing black socks or navy socks this morning, but it's just because those lines are beginning to blend together. But if you take it back and lay it black upon black and blue upon blue, you begin to find there's a standard. Now, there may be, you might say, well, you weren't specific enough. That's eggshell white, or it's bright white, or it's, you know, it's royal blue, or it's navy blue, or whatever it is, but we recognize what color it is because we look, and it's not just our sight that declares it. Because, you know, what if somebody comes and says, no, Sister Jeannie's shirt is not blue, that's green, and, you know, what was the old blue is now green. Well, we have a standard that we can go to and tell them, no, you're wrong. I don't care what you say. You may have a new idea, you may have a new perception. If everybody in the world comes and says, we're going to call blue green now, I have a standard that I can go to and show them, no, look, from the foundation of time, from as far back as we can look, this has been green, this is blue, and we have a color chart that's the standard. The programmer brothers here, like Brother Trevor and Brother Joshua, they can even take you and show you how in binary language, the changing of a number will change the shade and the darkness and the way that the color shows up on the screen by just a slight change, but there's a standard. They just don't just go in and say, I think this morning that 057 is going to be green. No, there's a standard that's set that they can look at and say, I know that this is green and this is blue and this is red, and they type in whatever those numbers are and it brings it up because there's a standard. Well, we don't come this morning and just say, well, I believe the message because mommy and daddy taught me. I believe in healing because the pastor taught me. I believe in Brother Branham because grandma was in his meetings or whatever it would be. But we have a standard that we can go back to and we can point people to and say, this is the standard. This is the standard. This is why we believe what we believe. Hey man, I don't care how many websites people produce. I don't care what my site says. I don't care what people's intellect says. I don't care what their intelligence says. I take it back to the standard of what the original word said, and I find that it compares perfectly, and that blue is blue and green is green and red is red. You get out here with a lot of these guys and they'll tell you something's red that might be purple, but they didn't take it back to the standard is why. You recognize I'm speaking spiritually this morning, not just about colors. But by faith we look. Now, somebody could come along and try to convince Brother Hoover, say, no, Brother Hoover, that's actually cream. It's just that your eyesight, you know, you're getting a few years on you and your eyesight declares that that's white. But really it's cream. And he could say, well, I look by faith and I believe that this is white because this is what I've been taught and I can take it back to a standard. Now, he doesn't just blindly go into it and have never known what a color was and just, well, somebody told me about a color called white, so I'm going to say this is white and that's purple and that's green. And he doesn't just start widely predicting what colors are, but he was taught something, and then he had a standard that he could take it back to, so now he can look by sight, and even if his sight, even if he goes colorblind, if he can look on there and it says green or blue or purple, he can say this is what it declares, because that's what the standard is. Even if our sight would fail us, we still have a standard that we could go to. Even Amen. People that can't see, if they had Braille writing on the tag at the store, whatever it was, they could feel and say, this is green, this is blue, whatever. You say, well, how do you know? Because the standard tells me that it is.
Amen.
And so we look beyond what our eyes can declare, because even our sight can sometimes fail us, but we look by faith and we say, this is what the standard says. This is what the promise says. And so, you know, even if I go colorblind and that looks like it's blue to me or it's green to me or whatever, if the standard declares that it's this, I have to admit it may be me that's wrong, but the standard is right.
Amen.
Amen. Whenever I look and somebody begins to say, well, there's a mistake over here, or the Bible contradicted itself over there, I have to look beyond their opinion, beyond their intellect, beyond whatever it is, and say, what does the standard say? What does the standard say? Because they can look and think that they see something, but you know, really, faith is more than your sight. Faith is something that anchors down as an absolute. Faith is something that anchors down as it's a substance. Brother Branham said a substance of things hoped for is what Paul said, but Brother Branham said a substance is something that you can hang on to. It's not just an invisible something, but it's something that declares itself in such a way that faith can anchor down and you can hold on to it and say, I'm anchored on this. I know that it's true. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. God said, you just go. You pack up your bags, you leave your family, you leave your job, you leave everything. You come out of Ur of the Chaldees and you go into a land that wherever your footsteps go, it's going to be possession for you. Where am I going, God? You just go. You just go. You just step, and I'll keep telling you where to step. He said, God, I don't know where I'm going. I've got a good solid job back here in Ur. I've got family back here in Ur. I've got a church that I've attended since I was a little kid back here in Ur. I've got all these things, but God said, pack up and go. Oh, but God, I need a map. I need you to show me from point A to point B. He said, I'm showing you from point A to point B. Take one step, and then I'll show you the next point A to B after that.
All right.
And that's how he leads us. God doesn't lay out the whole plan of our life and say, look, Brother David, this is how it's going to be. Brother Randy, here's your plan, and you just follow the dotted lines. But he says, take a step in faith, and then take another step in faith, and you just keep stepping, and I'll keep showing. Brother Branham said, that man came to him and said, Brother Branham, I don't have faith enough to believe in God. He said, I have to be able to see. I don't have faith enough to believe in healing and believe in all these different things that you're talking about. He said, I think that's all right for you, but he said, for me, I've got to be able to see. And he said, oh, I wish you'd come home with me this evening and we could just sit and talk. And Brother Bam said, well, where is your home? He said, oh, it's up here around the mountain. It's in a little cabin back over in the hill. He said, well, show it to me. He said, well, I can't. And he said, well, then how are you ever going to be? You told me that you had to be able to see something to receive it. And he said, well, I just take this lantern. He said, I just step as far as the light shows and I keep stepping until I get there. He said, well, that's exactly what we're talking about.
Amen.
Amen. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It doesn't lay out everything for us to see from here to eternity, but it lays out what we can see the next step to take, and then we pray and seek God in the next step we take, and we keep stepping by faith.
Amen.
This is how Abraham came to the promised land. Now, he never really fully received the promise, but yet he had the inheritance. He had the promise of it, that him and his seed would possess it. Brother Branham said, Sister Mita contradicted him on that, said, oh no, look over here in Genesis. It looked like he had possessed it. And he said, yeah, but look over in Acts what Peter said. It said he never possessed any of it, but yet God had declared that he would be a possessor of it.
Right.
So everywhere he stepped, he said, it's mine. It wasn't him that said it was his, it was God. Said, Abraham, that's all yours.
Amen.
Everywhere you can look, north, east, south, west, this is all yours. It's your inheritance. But yet on earth here, in a flesh body, he was a sojourner, but yet knowing that his children would possess this land that that God had declared he would receive. Brother Ram says in the Anointed Ones at the End Time in 1965, he says, what is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God.
Amen. Yes.
Oh my, what a thing that it is to have faith, to recognize, you know what, this is where I'm at. This is something that is not yet, but I recognize that it's God's will for me to be over here. We can look into the Word, and we can look into 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2, and he tells us, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." And if we can look by faith and recognize that's the will of God for me, Amen. We may not be in health right now, but we don't look at our current symptoms. We look to what the promise said, that this is the revelation of the will of God. It's the revelation of the will of God that I should be in good health, and so I'm accepting it even though I don't physically see it yet. It's the revelation of God's will for my life that I'll be an overcomer in this age, and even if I'm stumbling and falling right now, I'm recognizing what the promise said about me. That I'm an overcomer, not because of my good works, not because of my education, not because of my intellect, but because God said that I would be, and my faith anchors down upon it and says, Nathan Bryant is an overcomer. Amen. Now, I can't have a revelation for you, but you have to recognize the will of God for your life, to recognize and say, I am bride, I am healed, I am saved, I am filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. You say, well, I don't feel it yet. I don't feel like a Christian. I don't look like a Christian. Well, you just keep walking by faith. You keep stepping. You keep saying, oh, my, I've still got symptoms, Brother Nathan. I was prayed for 2 weeks ago, and I still got this. But God's will is for you to be healed. God's perfect will is for you to be in health and for you to prosper and for your soul to prosper and for you to be able to go out and overcome Laodicea. And you say, but I'm stumbling over here and I'm stumbling over there. But what did his will say?
Right.
What was his promise to your life? Don't look at your symptoms. Don't look at your stumbling. Don't look at what somebody else said. What did the promise say? What did the promise say for you? Abraham, look at your body. You're older than you've ever been. My, you've been preaching this for 15 years. You're going to have a baby, and Sarah's going to have a baby. Sarah's older. She's closer to death than she ever was. You're older. You're more sterile than you ever was. You and her couldn't even have kids as teenagers. But look at you walking out here making a fool of yourself, going into churches and testifying, saying, I'm going to have a baby. There's nothing naturally. There's nothing visibly. There's nothing scientifically that proclaims it. But God's will for my life is to have a baby. God's will for my life is to be the father of many nations. I don't care what anybody else says. I have a revelation of God's will for my life. Oh my, God in his word, 1957, he says, how many knows that healing is a finished work that God has already done? That's right. By faith, we accept it. Amen. I wasn't healed when the pastor laid his hands on me. I wasn't healed when I received a prayer cloth from the prophet. I wasn't healed when somebody said some words over me or anointed with me by oil. I was healed when 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ paid the price. I was already healed. All I had to do was accept by faith what his will already was for me. Amen. If we could put that into action this morning, I don't believe there'd be a sick person leave the building. If you could put into action that it's God's will for my life, you say, well, you mean I'll go out without symptoms? I didn't say that. I said you'd go out healed this morning. Amen. The symptoms might try to follow you around for days or weeks or months or years, but if you can proclaim God's will for my life is to be healed and I accept it by faith, I recognize that it's a promise to me personally, you can walk out of here healed this morning.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Sarah, how are you going to do it? I can't do it, but I judge him faithful.
Right.
Anthony, how are you going to do it? You can't do it, but we judge him faithful. Nathan, how are you going to do it? I can't do it, but I judge him faithful that made the promise. How are you going to overcome Laodicea of Jimmy Ard? You can't do it, but you regard him faithful that made the promise that I'm an overcomer through Christ Jesus that strengthens me. Amen. Nathan, how are you going to be a pastor of a church in this area when everything that comes against and all the naysaying and all the pressures and all that, how are you ever, when pastors much more your wisdom and much more your senior come to you and say, I wouldn't be a pastor in that area for anything. How are you going to do it? I can't do it. But I consider him faithful that made the promise.
Hallelujah.
How are you going to do it? Some of you parents raising up your children in this evil age when there's all the perversion and darkness that's ever been multiplying upon the face of the earth. How are you going to produce Christian offspring in this age? I can't, but I consider him that gave the promise faithful.
Amen.
That it's not just for me, but it's for my house. Amen. It's not just for those back in the days of Peter, but it's to all those whosoever the God shall call. It's to you and to your children and to their children. Amen. I consider him faithful that gave the promise. Experiences 1948. He says most of the people just hope, say, oh, I believe I'll get well. 999 out of every 1,000 passes by don't know the first principle of faith. That's right. They have hope instead of faith. Faith is positive. We come up and we get anointed with oil. You believe? Oh, yes, I believe. But many times we're coming forward with hope, saying, you know, it worked for Brother Hoover, so I hope it works for me. It worked for Brother Trevor, so I hope it works for me. But it's got to be more than a hope so. God's promises are not a hope so. It has to anchor down that it's not just something, well, the pastor taught this, so I think that's okay. Or, well, we heard it on a tape, so we believe it. It's got to be more than just a hope so. It's got to be more than a, well, you know, it worked for somebody back in 1957, so I'm hoping that it works for me again this morning. Faith anchors down and says, this is so. It's not a maybe, it's not a hope so, it's not a think so, it's not, well, the pastor said, it's this is so. It's a revelation to you personally. The will of God becomes a revelation to you, and that's what faith is, that this is for me. These promises in the Word, it's not for some other age, it's not for some other person, it's not for some other church, it's for me personally. Every promise, we get up and sing it, every promise in the book is mine, every chapter, every verse, every line, and we go out and we whine and whine. I thought every promise was yours. Why are we complaining? Why are we grumbling? Why are we mumbling? Why are we wandering around 40 years in the wilderness? Every promise in the book, we're possessors this morning. I don't want to just be a professor and say, well, I profess that I'm healed, and I profess that I'm a Christian, and I profess that I believe God sent a prophet in this age. I want to be a possessor, that it's a personal revelation to me, that it's a finished work. No more wondering, no more hoping, no more questioning. I know that I know that I know. Perseverant, 1962. Mostly, it's hope instead of faith. You have a mental conception of faith, what it means, and mentally you have faith, but you go deeper than that, see? You go deeper. Faith is positive. It is the substance. It's not a myth, not an intellectual imagination, but it is a substance, and substance is something that you can hold on to. Amen. You said, well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How can I hold on to something that I can't see? By revelation. Amen. By revelation, you can look, and you may not be able to physically hold it as material in your hand. You may not be able to physically see your healing. You may not be able to physically see your children saved and serving God. You may not be able to physically see your financial problem disappearing, but you hold on to this substance that I have a standard. I have a promise. I have a guarantee from God that this is what His Word said, and I know that He backs up His Word. So if I can approach Him in faith and receive that wasn't just for Brother Jimmy, it wasn't just for Sister Lori, but it's for me personally. I accept it and I hold on to it. It's a substance. It's something that you can anchor down and say, I have an anchor. I have an anchor. I have something that I can hold on to. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Can you imagine what this must have been like? Here, he's waited 25 years. Most of us brothers thought 9 months was long enough to wait. He waits 25 years for this promise. And the promised son arrives and he gets to be 12, 14, 16 years old. He comes up. He's a young man. And God says, take him up to Mount Moriah and kill him. Give him as a sacrifice. But God, I've waited all these years. But God said so. But God, I don't understand. I don't understand. Intellectually, I can't figure this out, but God said so. Right. And so he gets the boy, and he gets the mules, and he gets the sticks, and he tells the men standing there, he said, you wait here. As the boy and I go up Mount Moriah, he said, I and the lad shall return. Right. How are you going to do it, Abraham? God told you to slay him up there on that mountain. You just told those men a lie. No, he considered him faithful that gave the promise.
All right.
That he who had given him one as from the dead was more than able to raise him from the dead. He said, God, I don't know what your plan is. I don't know what you're doing here. All I know is that voice has never lied to me. All I know is I've depended on you all these years and you've never failed me yet. So I'm walking by faith, and up the mountain they go. Now the Bible said that this was his only begotten son, but what about Ishmael? He had already had a son. We think of this word only begotten as it was the only offspring that he had. But if you look at this word, the Greek word is monogamous, which means the single of its kind. It was his only begotten son because it was his only son by promise.
Right.
It was the only one of its kind. He was the only son by promise. Ishmael didn't come by the promise. Ishmael came by doubt. Many times we drag our Ishmael right along with us. Well, God promised that he'd provide, but, I went out and got an Ishmael. I'm not just talking about children this morning. I'm talking about your circumstances. God said he'd provide me a job, but I went out and I did this, and God said he'd provide me a wife, but I had my own ideas, and God said he'd provide me this, and I went my own way, and we drag Ishmael around with us. What is Ishmael usually? Our mistakes. Dragging them around with us. Oh, but God can still use his permissive will. But we'd have been a lot better off if we'd have stayed in his perfect will.
Right.
Oh my, what are all those scars in your life, Brother Nathan? Those are Ishmaels, little Ishmaels that I drag around with me.
Uh-huh.
Little things that Satan beats me up over because I didn't have faith in God's promised way. I tried to take my own. Now I've got all these little Ishmaels in my memory and my imagination and all these circumstances that Satan fights me with. What are they? Little Ishmaels. Don't look at me like angels this morning. You've got them too. Webster's Dictionary, this word monogenesis, it means the origin of diverse individuals or kinds by descent from a single ancestral individual or kind. God was going to bring forth generations and nations from this one individual kind, his only begotten, the only one of this kind, this promised son that had come forth from him. He was going to be the father of many nations, and he comes and God says, now go sacrifice him. But God, this is the promised son. What about Ishmael? I could go get rid of him real easy. No, you go sacrifice Isaac. The calling of Abraham, 1955. Abraham gave a pre-shadow of it when he went to the mountain to offer Isaac. Now, Mount Moriah is also the Temple Mount. Brother Jack reminded me of it this week. He was there in Israel. Brother Yarbrough and different ones of them went over to Israel. And he reminded me of something I taught on a few months ago, how that Mount Moriah, actually, if you go over to 2 Chronicles, when Solomon dedicates the temple, was the same mountain that Isaac walked up the hill with this wood on his back as a sacrifice. To go lay down his life as a sacrifice, and thousands of years later, here goes another son up the same hill. He says, and God spared Isaac and didn't spare his own son because Isaac was only a shadow of Christ, packing the wood and everything right up the same hill. Here they go, packing this wood up the hill. And Abraham looks at him. Maybe he begins to weep. How can I do it? How can I sacrifice this promised son, this one I've been waiting for so long? Now, God, you've asked me to do this thing. I don't know if I have the strength to do it. And on up the hill they go, and God was just giving him a taste of what it felt like to lay down his only begotten son. And he said, I'm not going to make you go through it, Abraham, but I want you to be able to relate to what I'm going through, because I'm going to come so that I can relate to what you're going through. Not only you, but all those down through history, I'm going to come and be the right kind of intercessor, that I'm going to experience the pain, and I'm going to experience the temptation, and I'm going to experience the pressures of life. I'm going to be able to relate to what you're going through. Brother Branham says in the True Easter Seal, 1961, speaking of this same mountain, he says, or he's speaking of Mount Moriah, but of Calvary here. He says, I was reading a little book here not long ago that on to some kind of a research, and in this research I found something most startling. I sit down, I laid the book down and raised up my hands and praised God, got up and walked around a little bit and sat down and read it again. I thought, oh, is that so? That on the same hill where Jesus was crucified, Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on? And was buried on the same hill where Adam died. He died on Golgotha and was buried on Golgotha. And I thought, what appropriate, whether it was right or wrong. Let's say it was right. Then the first Adam died and was buried, and they're yet in the dust because he represented the world and the people to sin. But the second Adam, being the God of heaven, when he died on Golgotha, there wasn't enough earth to hold him there. Right. He rose on the third day and is alive forevermore. They say that Jewish history says that the Golgotha is called the place of the skull because they believed that it was the place where Adam's skull literally was buried. And here, Isaac, back here thousands of years ago in type, walks up this hill, Mount Moriah, which will be the Temple Mount, and he packs this wood on his back. And all Abraham knows is that this is a trial that he's facing. All that he knows is this is one of the darkest hours that he's ever faced in his life. But he looks by faith and says, God, I don't understand, but I'm obeying your word. But God looks down through history and says it's a perfect type of what's going to take place thousands Amen. Of years later. And my word can't fail. And there's got to be shadows and types and prefigures. And Adam, as he goes and he's lived, I believe, 900 and something years old or 800 and something years old. And he's seen his grandchildren and his great-grandchildren and his great-great-grandchildren all the way down the line, and he walks up this hill and he says, you know, I just can't take anymore. And he lays down on this hill and he dies, and they bury him. And thousands of years later, when there's nothing but a spoonful of dust of him left there in the earth, they place another body on that same hill and they take him down and put him in the earth. But the earth couldn't hold that Adam. The earth had held this Adam for thousands of years, and he had rotted and decayed, but there was a promise that it went forth that said, I won't suffer my Holy One to see corruption. And they place him on the same hill in the same circumstances and the same. He dies just the same way, maybe not the same circumstances and symptoms, but he dies just like all men died down through the ages, but death couldn't hold him.
Amen.
The grave couldn't keep him. Death could hold Adam because he wasn't worthy to make a correct atonement for his own sins, let alone the sins of the world. And so death and the grave could hold him. But this one, when he came and made a sacrifice, death, hell, the grave, none of it could hold him because he was worthy to make an atonement for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And Abraham goes up this hill looking by faith. God, I don't understand. That's how many times we go walking. God, I don't know why you're having me do this. I don't understand why my circumstances are what they are. I don't know why I'm going through this trial. But I know that Romans 8:28 holds true in the face of anything. And by faith I walk. By faith we live our Christian life. By faith we recognize that all things, what did it say? And we know that all things, not just the good things, not just the okay things, not just the mediocre things, all things, even the bad things, even the terrible things, work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen. You can hope that that's true, but when you get a revelation that you know that that's true personally to you, you can walk through your trials a little better. You can walk through your bad days a little easier when you can understand, God, I don't know. I don't understand why all this is going through, but I do understand that it's something for my good and for your glory because you promised it and I've accepted by faith and I've anchored that that's a substance, it's something personal to me that no matter how bad it gets, it's working for my good.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11 verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. At that word, Lord, I'll let down the net, 1954. Brother Branham says, only by your confession can you be saved. That's the most powerful weapon that God put in the hand of man is a committal and a confession. It'll do it every time if you'll believe it. Accept it on those basis and believe it and stay with it. Keep confessing it.
Amen.
Committal and confession. You know, I feel like we've been dealing with confessing, you know, over and over and over for the last few months, it seems like. Confess that it's right, say that it's right, believe that it's right, speak the word, you know, speak it and walk into it and all those things. But just speaking it isn't enough. We have to commit it to God. Because
right.
Many times we speak it, but then we hold on to it. Oh, I believe God's going to heal me, but I'm going to hold on to this. And I believe God's going to save my children, but I'm going to hold on to that. And I believe God's going to provide a job, but I'm holding on to this. And I've got to do that. And I've got to do this. And I've got to say this. And I've got to correct that. And I've got to. You're confessing, but are you committing? He said the power of committal is the most powerful thing that God placed in the hands of a human being. But yet it seems like it's the hardest thing that we can ever do. We come up here. I've stood up here. I don't know how many babies it's been so far, but we bring the little babies up here, and they hand the baby over to me, and I say, oh, what a pretty baby, and everybody oohs and ahs, and somebody's there snapping pictures, and they've got it dressed up in some fine little outfit, and we have a word of prayer, and we say, God, they bring this little love gift back to give it to the one that gave it. And then they take it back and they say, I'm going to teach it what I want, and I'm going to raise it the way I want, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. What about committal?
All right.
What are you saying, Brother Nathan? You shouldn't say we shouldn't raise our children? Oh, absolutely not. We should raise our children in the admonition of God. We should teach them the right ways, but we have to do it with the thought of God. I'm doing my part, but this is just a love gift from you. I'm doing all that I know how. I'm trying to instill in them the scriptures, and I'm trying to instill in them the right principles, and I'm trying to instill in them to talk right to their elders and to treat their siblings right. And I'm trying to do all these things, but I recognize ultimately, God, that I have to place them in your hands. I'm trying to do everything I can to keep them safe. I try not to let them, you know, play in areas where they could get hurt, or try not to let them get around circumstances where there could be something that I know would be bad for them. I'm trying to protect them as much as I know how. But I recognize ultimately, God, that when I turn the key and I get in the car and I go down the highway, it's you that's protecting them. I recognize when I send them to their grandparents' house or to a friend's house or whatever it would be, I recognize that it's you that's protecting them. I recognize when we lay down in bed at night that there's other houses that will be struck by missiles, or that will be struck by earthquakes, or will be struck by hurricanes. But I'm depending on you. I'm committing our family to you, God, that my house won't be one of them, that you'll protect us.
Yeah, all right.
But we as humans try to hold on to everything. Right. I've got this, God. I've got this. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Okay, Lord, a little help. A little help. A little help, Lord.
Amen. Think about it. Good preaching.
Like he's our spotter in the gym, you know. And we're going to put 500 pounds on there. And I've got this, God. I've got this. Nope, nope. I need a little help. Why didn't you just let him do it in the first place?
All
right. A time of decision, 1959. Oh, if we could only learn to be a trusted servant of God like that, we could commit things to God. It's the most powerful thing that I know of is a committal. Commit thy ways unto the Lord. Commit your thinking to him. If you're sick and the doctors can't help you no more, then just commit your case to God and act like it's already done. Something will have to take place. It just can't keep from it, because God is a creator. The word of God is a seed, and a seed is planted in the ground. And if that seed is watered, it springs forth into life, if it's a germinized life. If you go out here and you plant tomato seeds or pumpkin seeds or whatever you plant, and it's in the right kind of earth, and it's the right type of germinized seed, and you water it and provide it with the right moisture and the right atmosphere, you wouldn't expect for it to pop up and be a plum or to be a persimmon or something like that. You're going to expect it to be whatever that you placed in the ground, that's going to produce. So when we take the word of God and we says, by his stripes I'm healed, and we place it and we keep watering it with the word and watering it with faith and watering it with the right atmosphere of belief and staying away from doubt and hope and fear, but we say, I believe, and I anchor it down, then it has to produce what was planted.
Amen.
Jesus said the word was a seed. Then if the seed has fallen into your heart and you'll water that seed by faith, believing, it'll bring forth just after its kind. He says, you can put me on record. And after 30 years of preaching, I can say this, that I have never one time sincerely ever asked God for anything and committed it to him. He either gave it to me or told me why he couldn't do it. It didn't always happen like that. When little Sharon Rose died there, he was trying to commit it. He was trying to beg God. He was trying to seek God. He knew it was out of his hands. He couldn't do it anymore. And God said no. He said it was like a black sheet that came down. God didn't show him right then and say, well, this is why, Brother Branham, I had to do this and I had to do this, because you had to become this and she had to become that. And he didn't place it all together like a great big map. He may have wondered for years, why, God? Why did you take that little baby? Why did you crush me like that? Why would you let me sit there through my darkest Gethsemane? That's what he said it was. He said that was his Gethsemane. He said that Jesus died more at Gethsemane than he did at Calvary, because Gethsemane, he died to himself.
Right.
The Roman soldiers couldn't take his life. He laid it down himself.
Right.
And he died to himself. And he said, there I was. He said, but I had too much Branham in me. A lot of us had too much Hoover or too much Bryan or too much Sargent or too much Yarborough, too much Eplin or too much Ricketts. And God had to crush us and take us through trials. He said, it's that crushed rose that brings forth the greatest fragrance, those lilies everything that it, those things that bring forth fragrance, you have to crush it to really get the true thing out. And then he looks beyond. As God gives him a vision, he steps beyond the curtain of time there, and he sees a young woman, and she says, "Hello, Dad." And he says, "Dad," said, "Well, I'm old enough. You're old enough to be my age. How are you calling me Dad?" She said, "You just don't recognize where you're at, Dad. You just don't know where you're at, Dad." And he recognized that what seemed like the worst trial for him, all of a sudden transformed in a moment. This little child didn't have to go through any peer pressure, didn't have to get made fun of at school, didn't have to battle a temptation of drugs or alcohol or cigarettes, didn't have to worry about somebody coming along and molesting her. Just instantly, she's in a perfect eternal body. And he recognizes God had a reason for it. He said maybe if she would have lived, she would have gotten in trouble or something. God knew what he was doing. Many times in our life, we look at trials and we look at things that we're facing. And we think, why, God? Why would you allow this? Why would you let these things happen? And then we go along years later and we say, oh, God knew what he was doing, as if it's a shock to us. God knew what he was doing when that happened. God knew what he was doing when he allowed this to happen. By faith, we should be able to look even before he shows us and recognize. As Brother Branham said, all the years that we've lived, we may have asked him for things. Maybe he said yes. Maybe he said no. Maybe he said wait a while. But he's always been faithful to come around and show us. It was for a reason. Amen. It was for a purpose. I had a plan in it. It was for your good, even when it didn't seem like it. Life story, 1951. He says, if someone talks about you and you talk back about them, God can't fight your battle. You're fighting it yourself, see? Just let loose and let him do it and just commit it to him. The greatest weapon that I know of a Christian today is a committal to God. When you can't do nothing about it, just commit it to him and God will take care of it. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
Seems like today we believe the greatest weapon is social media, that if we can go and get everybody on our side, well, bless God, so-and-so said this about me and so-and-so said that and this is what I've been going through this week and we can get them all on our side. We think that's a great weapon. The greatest weapon is to keep your mouth shut and give it to God. Amen. And say, God, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know what I could do. I don't have the ability. I don't have the intelligence. I'm giving this to you, God, and I'm expecting you to take care of it because I consider him faithful that gave the promise.
Amen.
Thy house in 1961. Now he has done promised me that I got it. So that settles it. And I just keep on holding on, waiting. Finally, first thing you know, here it comes pouring down out of the corridors of heaven and you got it. But that's it. You see, thy and thy house shall be saved. And if you don't see them all saved before you leave the earth, they'll be there when you get time, when the great coming comes, it'll be there. Now you understand what I mean? See, it's by faith we do everything. Oh, but can you imagine some of these that walk along? Lord, I'm dependent. I'm waiting on you to bring my last loved one in. And they get to their deathbed and they think, oh my. He's faithful that gave the promise, but I don't see this one. I don't see that one yet. Don't worry. They'll be there when you get there. Why? Because he's faithful that gave the promise. But I don't understand. They've done this and they've done that. I've done that. But they're your inheritance.
Glory.
Brother Branham said they're your inheritance.
Thank you.
Don't give up on them. Claim them.
Amen.
Don't give up on them. Keep believing. Oh, but they're out here doing this and they're out here saying this and they're out there doing this. Yeah, but thy and thy house
Amen.
Shall be saved. Thy and thy house. I don't envy some of you. My children aren't teenagers yet, but they're getting up there closer and closer to those years. And I don't know what all they'll go through. And I don't know what all I'll have to go through as a parent. But I recognize that ultimately I've got to commit it to God and say, God, you got to protect these children. You're the one that's got to take care of these situations. You're the one. I can't bring them unless you call them. So I'm depending on you to call them because you promised that you would. You promised in your word that you would bring him. And you promised in your word that if I had the same faith that I had for my own salvation, that it would produce something in them like it did the Philippian jailer's children.
Amen.
Even if I don't see it while I'm alive, I'm depending that he that gave the promise is faithful.
Right.
See, it's by faith we do everything. Believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord for a job. Believe on the Lord to hunt, to give you the wife that you should have. Believe on the Lord to give you the husband you should marry. Oh, if we do this, we'd be a lot better off. around the message. Some of you teenagers, you go and you depend on the Lord to sit you next to the prettiest girl at the banquet, or you depend on God to let the girl with the prettiest eyes look your way, or you depend on God for this or that. Depend on Him to send you a good, genuine Christian wife that'll raise your children in the admonition of God. That'll be there for you in the tough times, in the good times, in the bad times, in the sick times, in the healthy times. Depend on Him to send you the right one. Don't go out there and try to do it on yourself, or you'll be like that guy with the 500-pound weight trying to lift it on his own. Depend on God to bring you these things. Seek God who it should be. Pray to God and ask Him to lead you to the right one. Brother Bram said the right one was the best thing. We forget some of these things around the message. You know, a lot of people call Brother Branham a woman hater. I don't know what he could have said better about a woman than to say that the best thing that God could give a man outside of salvation was a good godly wife. That's the highest compliment I can imagine paying.
Right.
It wasn't the good women that he was talking bad about. It was the bad women he was talking about.
Right.
Amen. He said a bad one. He said Solomon says like water in his blood. He said it'd be the worst thing. He said it'd make a man's life like hell on earth. If she got the wrong one, amen, but the right one, husband or a wife, whatever it would be, ask God to send you. And then you can sit back at night and live happy and say, thank you, Lord, that I didn't get my way, that I followed your way.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord to send you some new furniture. Uh-oh. You mean God cares about your new furniture? If you got the right motive.
Right.
If you got the right motive, He does. Amen. We're not preaching prosperity up here.
No.
Amen. I didn't invite Brother Joel Osteen to come and preach for us this morning. He's still in Dallas or wherever he's at, Houston or wherever. But God does care. Remember, he preaches us a sermon, convinced and then concerned. He said, He cares when you care.
Right.
He cares when you care. Amen. He careth for you. If you're concerned about something, He's concerned about it, even the little things.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord to send you some new furniture. Or if the barrel goes empty and the cruse gets dry and there's no food and the children are hungry, believe on the Lord. Believe on the Lord for anything, see?
Amen.
As long as it's right. See, there's a condition here. I don't just go out and say, Lord, I believe that you're going to send me a Ferrari tomorrow. I have no need of that. There's no reason for anything like that, except if it's just to boost my pride up a little bit and say, look how much better I am than somebody else. I have no need of that.
No.
But if it's something that's right, Lord, you know, our couch is about to fall down, and I need a couch that my family can sit on when we have families and friends over at the house. We can sit and talk about the Lord. Depend on Him to provide you the furniture.
Right.
Lord, I don't know if this vehicle is going to get me to church anymore. Lord, I got to do some traveling. I want to do some things for the kingdom. I need something that's dependable for my family to travel in. Depend on God. Hey, man, it's okay to depend on God for those things, even material things. He cares. He doesn't want us to be vain. He doesn't want us to be proud. He doesn't want us to walk around with our nose up in the air because we've got a $5 more expensive suit than the guy next to us.
Amen.
That's not the right objective and the right motive. But God cares. As long as it's right, just believe on the Lord and thou shalt see. It shall come. He says, I've never seen it fail in my life.
Right.
By faith. By faith we step. By faith we walk. The whole Christian experience by faith. Our children's salvation, our health, our daily living, the things that we have need of for provisions, our food and our clothing and the roof over our head. We depend on God for those things. The economy can change overnight. Your job situation can change overnight. Your health can change overnight. But I don't lay awake at night and think, oh Lord, what if the economy fails? What am I going to do? Oh, Lord, what if this family leaves the church? What am I going to do? Oh, Lord, if the roof starts leaking, how am I going to afford to fix it? Oh, Lord, what if this? What if that? What if? I say, God, you've taken care of me this far.
Right.
I've lived by faith this far. Whatever comes, whatever goes, whatever the devil throws my way, by faith, I'm depending that Him that gave the promise is faithful.
Amen.
To provide. Amen. God bless you this morning. If the musicians would come. If we get into Moses, we'll be here another half an hour, so we'll save that for another time. By faith, Moses. Oh, my. By faith, through faith. This whole Hebrews chapter 11, it's just packed full of faith, the faith chapter.
Amen.
Our life should be the same way. When we get up in the morning, that alarm clock goes off. By faith, we get out of bed.
Amen.
By faith, we go to work expecting that job to be there when we get there. By faith, we put the key in the car expecting it to turn on and everything to be okay. By faith, we kiss our children goodnight believing that they'll be awake, alive when we wake up the next morning. By faith, we go. And by faith, we travel. And by faith, we come to church. And by faith, we seek God for more revelation. By faith, by faith, by faith. This shouldn't just be something that we read in the Bible as something that was for some bygone day, for some patriarch or some mighty man of God, but our whole life should be by faith, Nathan, by faith, Trevor, by faith, Randy, by faith, Bill, by faith we walk. Every breath that we take is by faith. God didn't promise me the next one. Everything that we do, we're living by faith. Amen. God bless you this morning. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we looked into the quotes and the scriptures this morning, and Lord, to provide a foundation, Lord, for what we're teaching on about faith, Lord, may something just anchor down a seed, Lord, inside of the hearts of the people. Lord, may it be something that, Lord, so transforms the way that they live and the way that they walk and the way that they talk that they recognize that this isn't just something that we hope for. This isn't just something that we sort of expect, but by faith, something anchors down on the inside of us, and we recognize, Lord, that you promised us these things. Lord, even when we didn't deserve them, even when we didn't know exactly what your plan was for us, we were just stepping by faith. Lord, even before we could recognize, Lord, how everything was working for our good, yet you had it in complete control. Lord, you had a plan and you had a purpose, and you're just trying to coax us along to get us to walk into that plan. You're trying to encourage us to walk by faith right into your perfect will for us. Lord, may we look by faith and recognize that there's a substance, something tangible that we can anchor down in our heart, that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you made the promise and that you're faithful to bring it to pass. Whether it's our healing, whether it's our finances, whether it's our family, whatever it would be, Father, may you anchor something down so completely in our heart that we don't worry about it anymore. We don't fight it at it anymore, but we just commit it so completely to you. And we do our part, Lord. We recognize there's things that you have for us to do. Lord, we do those things, Father, but that we don't worry at it and beat at it anymore. But we just continually step by faith, from faith unto faith unto faith, Lord. Whatever you'd have us to do, wherever you would have us to go, Lord, into deeper depths and higher heights, Lord, may you just anchor something down in us, Lord, that we wouldn't worry about it anymore or struggle with it anymore, but we would commit it to you and say, you're faithful. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried, and I always recognize in all my trying, I ultimately have to depend on you, Lord. So I'm just depending on you, Lord. I'm going to do my part, but I'm going to commit it to you, Father. Help us, Lord, to be able to do these things. Lord, that it would be more than just words this morning, but Lord, we could apply it to our daily living and walk by faith, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. Why me, Lord?
What have I ever done that was worth even of the pleasures I've known? Oh, tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown?
one baby, Lord. I could show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. Lord, I know what I am. And now that I know that I'm needed, you so help me, Jesus. My soul's in. Oh, let's stand together and sing it again.
See why I'm so happy. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. He's amazing. Oh, I'm that you love me. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood. I found pardon, and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and you set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy set me free. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. The anchor holds.
Glad we have an anchor this morning.
Though the ship, it's battered, the anchor holds. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees.
As a faith, the rain.